Okay, today's daf is Yoma Daf Yud. We're at the top of Yud Amud Aleph. We were speaking about how Shlomo Melech, a descendant of Shem, built the first Beit HaMikdash, whereas the Persians were responsible for the construction of the second Beit HaMikdash, and in accordance with the Pasuk in Bereshit, Yaft Elokim LeYefet VeYishkon Bo LeShem, while the descendants of Yefet, the Persians, could build beautiful buildings, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will only reside His Shechina in the Ohal LeShem, the buildings of the descendants of Shem. And that is why the Shechina did not rest in the second Beit HaMikdash. Uparsai minalan demiyefet ka'atu. How do we know that the Persians came from Yefet? Dichtiv b'nei Yefet gomeru magog umadai v'yavan v'tuvel umeshech v'tiros. So that's a list of the descendants of Yefet, and now we're going to explain who each one is. Gomer ze Germania. So Gomer, that's Germania. Magog ze Kandia. Magog is Kandia. Madai kimashmao, so Madai is Madai, media. Yavan zo Makedonia, right? Yavan is Macedonia. Tuval ze Beit Unaiki. Tuval is Beit Unaiki. Meshech ze Musia. Meshech is Musia. Tiras Peligiba Rabbi Simai Verabanan. And who Tiras is subject to a dispute between Rabbi Simai and the Rabbanan. The Amri La Rabbi Simon Verabanan, or perhaps it was Rabbi Simon and the Rabbanan. Either way, Charamar Zo Beit Tiraiki. One says it's Beit Tiraiki. The Charamar Zo Paras, and one says it's Persia. Tani Rabbi Yosef, Tiras Zo Paras, and Rabbi Yosef taught in Abraita that Tiras is Paras. Savta Verama Visavdicha. So now that we are elaborating, now that we're explaining which children are who the descendants of different Noach's children, we're going to go on and explain Cham's children. There's Savta Rama and Savdicha, Tani Ravi Yosef, Sakistan Gavaita Visakistan Baraita. So these are the inner Sakistan and outer Sakistan, just two different provinces. Bein chada lechada mea parsi, that are about 100 parsi apart. Vehekefa alfe parsi, and the full circumference of their territory was 1,000 parsi. Vetehei reshit mamlachto bavel veerech veakad vechelna. The beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Bavel, where Bavel, Erech, Akkad, and Kalna were a part of his kingdom. Bavel kamashma, Bavel is Bavel. Erech ze Orichut, so Erech is a reference to the province we know as Orichut. The Akkad ze Baskar. Akkad is a reference to Baskar. Kalna ze Nofer Ninfe. Kalna is a reference to Nofer Ninfe. Min ha'aretz ahi yatsa Ashur. And from that land, Ashur came. Assyria came. Tani Rav Yosef, Ashur ze Silak. Ashur is what we know as Silak. Ve'yiven et Ninve ve'et rechovot ir ve'et kalach. So they built Ninve and rechovot ir, and they built kalach. Ninve kimashmo, Ninve, we know what Ninve is. Rechovot ir zo prat de Meshan. Rechovot ir is a reference to the part of the Nahar Prat, which was in Meshan. Kalach zo prat de Vursif, and kalach is a reference to the part of Prat, which is in Bursif. Vet resen ben Ninve ben kalach, and resen was between Ninve and kalach. Hi ha'ir hagidola. And that is the great city. Resen ze Aktesfon. And Resen is what we know as Aktesfon. Hi ha'ir hagedola. Now let's go back to what we said. That is their great city. Eini yodeya im Ninve ha'ir hagedola im Resen ha'ir hagedola. Because it says that this was the great city at the end of the pasuk. I don't know if that's a reference to Resen being the great city of Ashur, or if Ninve was the great city of Ashur. Kishu omer v'Ninve ha'ita ir gedola l'Elohim mahalach shloshet yamim. But when it says in Yonah that Ninve was a great city, was enormous, a great city, it was a 3-day journey. Have omer Ninve hi ir gedola. I understood from there that Ninve was Ashur's great city, which resolves the question that Ninve is in fact the capital of Assyria. Visham Achiman Sheshai V'Talmai Yelidei HaAnak. So going on, we spoke about going on. We're going to continue clarifying different names and understanding who they were. So the children of the Anak, they're the children of giants, were Achiman, Sheshai, V'Talmai. Ntana, Achiman, Meyuman, Shebachim. Achiman was the strongest of the brothers from the words Achi, Ach, Yamin. right? As in Yamin being the stronger hand, he was the strongest of the brothers. Sheshai shemesim et haaretz ke shechitut. He ruins the world when he walks. He's so big. Talmai shemesim et haaretz tzlamim tzlamim. And Talmai leaves furrows in the ground when he walks. Davar echer, alternatively, Achiman bana Anat. Achiman was one who built Anat. Shesha bana Alush. Shesha built Alush. And Talmai bana Talbush. Talmai built the city of Talbush. Yalidei ha'anak, and what does it mean that they were Yalidei ha'anak? Shema anikim achamab bekomatan. Right? That the sun looks like a necklace on them because of their tremendous stature. Amar Rabbi Shubin Levi, Amar Rabbi, Atida Romi Shetipol Biyad Paras. In the future, Rome is going to fall to Persia. Shneamar, Lachen Shimu Atzad Hashem, Asher Ya'atz El Edom Umachshavotav, Asher Chashav, El Yoshvei Teman, Imlo Yis Chavum Tzeire Hatzon, Imlo Yasim Aleim Nevehem. So here, the Eitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem planned against Edom, right? His thoughts that he conceived against the people of Teman, right? The youngest of the flock is going to pull them off, and he's going to devastate them, right? So because it says that the youngest of the flock is going to take care of Edom, the youngest of the flock being Persia, so Persia is going to destroy Edom. Matkifla Rababar Ula Maimash Madahait Seire Hatzon Paras. So how do you know that the youngest of the flock is a reference to Persia? Nichtiva Ayel Shereiti Bal Karnaim Malche Madai Paras. Okay, well, you know, by Paras, it is written that they are represented by a ram, the Ema Yavan. But still, you could say that Greece is a reference to this sheep, Dichtiv Vat Safir Haseir Melech Yavan, because Greece is also referenced to by the animal of a sheep, right, or a goat rather. So the fact that it says Tzeire Hatzon, the fact that it references the flock, it could be a reference to Persia, but maybe it's also a reference to Yavan. Ki Salik Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki Amra Kame Dahomer Banan Amar Le Mandelo Yada Perushe Krai Motiv Tiyuta Lerebi Ma Tzeire Hatzon Zutra Dachohi Netani Rav Yosef Tira Zo Paras. So Rav Chaviva came in and said, "You really just don't understand how we're darshaning out this pasuk. We're not darshaning out by finding someone who's compared to a flock. It says the youngest of the flock, right? We're not looking for a nation that's compared to a flock or a sheep or goats or rams. We're saying the youngest of the flock. And as we know, Persia was the youngest of the brothers. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. Atida Rome shetipol biad paras. Rome will fall to Persia. Kal v'chomer. From a kal v'chomer, ma migdash rishon shemanau b'nei shem v'hich rivohu kasdim. The first Beit HaMikdash was built by a descendant of Shem, and it was destroyed by the Chaldeans. Naflu kasdim biad parsim, and the Chaldeans fell to the Persians. Migdash shebanu parsim v'chirvu romim. So the second Beit HaMikdash, which was built by Persians, and it fell to the Romans, in Odin shiplu romim biad parsim. So kal v'chomer, the Romans should fall to the Persians. So basically, the Persians were used to get revenge on the Chaldeans for destroying the first Beit HaMikdash. Kal v'chomer, the Persians are going to be used to get revenge upon the destroyers of the second Beit HaMikdash, which was built by the Persians. Amar Rav, the Parashat people beyad Romi. Persia is actually going to fall to Rome. Amar Le, Rav Kana, Rav Asi, the Rav, Banoye biyad Satore. Right? And then they asked, should the builders of the Beit HaMikdash really fall to the destroyers of the Beit HaMikdash? That's not justice. Amar Lehu in Gzered Melechi. Says, yeah, in Achinami, that's how it was decreed. That's what's going to happen. Ikda Amri Amar Lehu Inu Namihaka Satri Be Kinishto. There are those who say that he responded, you know, the Persians destroyed their fair share of Batei Knesset, so they also deserve to fall. Dani Nami Achi, similar we taught in the Braita, Atida Paras Shotipo Biad Romi, Persia's gonna fall to Rome, Chara Desatri Beknishta, Veod Xerat Melech, Ushiplo, Bonin Biad Sotrid. Right? That, for one, that Persia will fall to Rome. One reason, because they destroyed a lot of Batei Knesset, and furthermore, it's the king's decree is that the builders of the Beit HaMikdash are going to fall to the destroyers of the Beit HaMikdash. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Ein Ben David, Ba Ache Tivshot Malchut Romi Harasha Bechol Olam Kulo Tisha Harashim. That David Melech or the Mashiach will not come until the Mashiach won't come until The Roman kingdom rules the world for 9 months. And 9 months is probably symbolic because, you know, the 9 month birthing process, 9 month of pregnancy, it takes 9 months to create something new. Tana Rabbanan, kol lishkot shehayu b'mikdash lo hayu lehen mezuzah chutz milishkat parhedrin. The only place in the Beit HaMikdash, the only chamber of the Beit HaMikdash that had a mezuzah was the parhedrin chamber. Shayaba Beit Dira la Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol lived there. Amar Yehuda, v'alo kama lishkot b'mikdash hayu lehen Beit Dira v'lo haya lehen mezuzah. Weren't there plenty of places in the Beit HaMikdash that had living quarters that they had no mezuzah? Elishka parhedrin gezerah haita. Rather, it was just a rabbinic decree that the lishka parhedrin was supposed to have a mezuzah, but it wasn't required to have a mezuzah mideo raita. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Who thinks that it's a biblical decree? It's a biblical mandate to have a mezuzah. Amar Rabba kasava Rabbi Yehuda kol bayit she'eino asui limotach chama v'limotach shamim eino bayit. Sorry, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that it was not required to have a mezuzah? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that any home that is not built both for the summer months and the winter months is not considered a home. Of course, the Kohen was only there 7 days out of the year before Yom Kippur, so it was not fit for both summer and winter. But isn't it written that I will strike down the winter house and the summer house? Meaning each one is called a house, even though they're only for one of the seasons. Yeah, sure. If it's built for kayitz, it can be called a beit kayitz. If it's built for choref, it can be called a beit choref. However, it cannot just be called a bayit if it's built for one of them. Eiti ve'abaye baye challenge from the following. Sukkat hachag bechag. Right? That regarding the sukkah on Sukkot, Rav Yehuda Mechai v'chamim potrin. Rav Yehuda says it needs a mezuzah. If you brought in produce, if you brought in fruit and vegetables into a mezuzah, into a sukkah on Sukkot, Rav Yehuda says you need to take meiser. Why would that be? Well, in general, you take it into your own home, and that is mechayev. If you eat it out in the field, you don't have to take meiser. If you bring it into your home, you have to take meiser. So if you bring it into your sukkah, well, it depends. Is your sukkah your home? According to Yehuda, you bring it into your sukkah on Sukkot. That is your home, and you need to take meiser. According to the Chachamim, you don't have to take meiser. V'tani Allah, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, be'iruv u'mezuzah meiser. And we responded that Rabbi Yehuda really treats this thing as a home, right? For the sake of putting your eruv there, for the sake of building a mezuzah on it, and for the sake of obligating you in meiser when you bring in the produce. Clearly, even though it's only up for 7 days of the year, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that this is a proper home for the sake of mezuzah v'chitem in the midera banan. And if you want to say, yeah, he only says that on a rabbinic level, bishlama eruv mezuzah ikalim midera banan. I understand why you would be saying he would be mechayev you in an eruv and in a mezuzah on a rabbinic level. But would he have given you a rabbinic obligation to take meiser on your food for bringing it into your sukkah? That's risky. That's a risky move. Because if you have two piles of produce, they're both chayv and meiser, you don't have to take 10% from each pile, just take 20% from one pile, and the other pile is perfectly fine, because it's all your produce and it's all chayv. However, if one of them is chayv and one of them is putter, and you take 20% of the pile that's putter from meiser, meaning you don't need a big meiser on this food, you can't exempt your responsibility to bring it from the produce you're chayev in by bringing it from the produce you're putter in. So by saying you're chayev and meiser on this produce, it's very confusing and it's risky, because he may come to take meiser on this produce for a pile of produce that he's chayev on, which doesn't work. Rather, let's understand it like this. Everyone agrees, there's no machloket, everyone agrees that during the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is in the Parhedrin, it needs a mezuzah. The machloket is only regarding the rest of the year. Rabbanan Savri Gazrin and Shayim Vodashana Atu Shiva. The Rabbanan say, well, yeah, we're concerned the rest of the year we put up a mezuzah, because of that 1 week. Right, but Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lo Gazrin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we can just have a mezuzah that week. You don't need a mezuzah the rest of the time. So just like on Sukkot, you need a mezuzah on your sukkah, so too during that week, you need a mezuzah on that living quarters. Amar Le Rava Vaha Sukkot Achag Bechag Katane. How can you tell me that the shita of the Chachamim is that during that week, you're chayev to put a mezuzah on the lishkat parhedrin? The Chachamim were talking about during that week of Sukkot, and they said you don't need to put a mezuzah on it. Ela amar Rava, rather Rava answers as follows: B'shayim v'tashana kule amalo pligi diptura. Everyone agrees that the rest of the year you don't need a mezuzah. Ki pligi b'shiva, and the only machloket is regarding that 1 week. V'sukkah and the That's when Rabbi Yehuda says during that 1 week it needs it, and the Chachamim say, sorry, Rabbi Yehuda is Pater and the Chachamim are Mechayev. Okay, well then you have a clear stira between the Sukkah and between the Lishkat Parhedrin as to whether you understand that Rabbi Yehuda says it's Chayev in a Sukkah, in a Mezuzah, or not Chayev. V'sukkah tam alechud v'lishkat tam alechud. Yeah, in a Chinami, there's a contradiction there, but it's not a problem because they're for both reasons. They're for different reasons. The Sukkah has its reasons for being Chayev, and the Lishkat Parhedrin has its reasons for being Pater. What are those reasons? Sukkah tam alechud, Rabbi Yehuda latame. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with his own sheet, the Amar. Sukkah dira keva ba'inan. Sukkah needs to be a permanent living quarters, Mechayev mezuzah, and therefore it needs a mezuzah, Rabbanan tamayu, and the Rabbanan follow their sheet, the Amar. Sukkah dira arai ba'inan. That the Sukkah is definitively a temporary living structure, velo Mechayev mezuzah, and therefore it does not need a mezuzah, velishka tam alechud. And when it comes to their diyun by the Lishka, by the Parhedrin, it's a different reason entirely. Rabbanan Sabri Dira Bal Korchash Madira. According to Rabbanan, a living quarters that you force someone to live in, that he doesn't have a choice, that he has to live in, still called living quarters. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar Dira Bal Korchash Losh Madira. A living quarters that you force someone to live in is not called a living quarters. That's why the Sukkah needs a mezuzah, but the Lishka Parhedrin doesn't, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because, he says, the Sukkah is a dirat keva, needs a mezuzah. The living quarters is against his will. You're making him live there. That's not a proper living quarters. It does not need a mezuzah. The Rabbanan say, however, it's a dirat arai, the Sukkah, so it doesn't need a mezuzah, whereas a forced living quarters is a living quarters, and it does need a mezuzah. U'midarabanan, hu detakinu la, shlo yomru kohen gadol, chavosh beta asurin. And the reason why there is a mezuzah on the Lishkat Parhedrin, according to Yehuda, who says it's not Chayav Midiraita, is a rabbinic decree so that no one should walk by and think that the Kohen is like being locked up there like he's in prison. Right? He wants to be there. It's not Chayav because he is forced to be there. It's not Chayav Mezuzah because he is forced to be there. But we don't want to give this impression that we're locking him up there and that everyone who passes by and sees that there's no mezuzah, he says, oh, the Kohen Gadol is being locked up in there. Okay, we'll stop here.